Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, calling upon you to bless your word, open up our hearts and minds, that you might guide us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you. And Lord, that we might worship you in a way that would honor and glorify you and draw us closer to you. And Lord, that you might empower our lives truly to be a witness and a testimony of your great grace that you've given to us. Bless again, Lord, your word and your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is "Finally, Brethren." Just those two words right there. And really what we're looking at is Paul's closing concerns for the believers, not only at Thessalonica, but also in our day and age. God knew that this would be part of the canon of Scripture, and he wanted this to be, he wanted us to hear this and to understand. And so we're going to step back in time a little bit, but it's also very relevant to try to get that out. In our day and age also of what the Lord was doing in the life of the believers here at Thessalonica, and really all throughout the whole world, wherever there are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So three thoughts, really four, that we'll take a look at here. The Lord's free course, that's one of the things Paul was concerned about. And then deliverance from wicked men. And then thirdly, the result of the Lord's faithfulness. And then the last thought is how we are given good success. So look at verse 1 again here, and notice what he says. "Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." In other words, no hindrance, no obstacles in its way, that it might have free course. And he says, and be glorified even as it is with you. Notice verse 2, "and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So he's saying, be careful, just because they proclaim to be a believer, that doesn't mean that they have faith. Faith, what is that word interchangeable with? The word faith and trust, right? They're not trusting in Jesus. They profess, they have a profession. There's a lot of false prophets, even in our day and age, that they preach something completely different that's not in the Bible, not in the Word of God. They actually say, some I've heard say, well, I don't know that maybe people that believe differently aren't going to be in heaven. Well, wait a minute. If they bypass the Son of God, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and put their faith and trust in the shed blood and the resurrection, they have no eternal life, and they're none of his, the Bible says. And so we need to be careful that when we hear people, that we understand where they're coming from and that they truly profess a faith in Christ for deliverance. And so Paul is saying that we might be delivered from wicked men. And by the way, that you and I also might be delivered from wicked men and not persuaded by them to follow their pernicious ways or to walk contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God for the believer must be our rule. And that's the way that God would keep us in His way. And we'll look into that a little bit more. And then the third point is the results of the Lord's faithfulness. And look at verse 3 with me, if you will. "But the Lord is faithful." Amen?
Amen.
"The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you." That's important. It's his work, right? Can you see that? It's all through the Bible as we look at it. And notice this, he'll establish you and keep you from evil.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? God is amazing, is he not?
Amen.
Did God speak the world into existence?
Yes.
All right, let's just take a look at an amazing part that he created for you and I to enjoy. And that's the eye. Isn't it amazing? The eye is an amazing part of our body that God has created, and it works perfectly, doesn't it? Listen, when God created the eye, his intent, of course, sin has marred it, and so now we have sickness and death, but before sin entered in, God created the eye to perform a specific and a perfect function, and it works exactly the way God designed it. Now, I also want us to take this into account. God also planned something else out in his new creation. When he saved us, He placed us in Christ Jesus and dwelt us with the Holy Spirit that we might be a royal priesthood. And so God, when he creates things, you have confidence that the eye works, right? And so you use that and you benefit from that. And you also benefit from legs working. Aren't you glad that legs work, right? They perform. They're not just some appendages that just decided to grow out of millions of years and have no function at all. They take us from place to place. And so that's an important thing. So God designed the human body to perform various different functions that are a benefit and a blessing to each and every believer. But likewise also, God created a new man in us. And it's founded in the Lord Jesus Christ, who placed him in us to perform some functions that we'll see here in just a moment. And so we need to put our faith or our trust in what God has created to be perfect and not walk in unbelief, right? So if we're not careful, we say, oh, and by the way, and to use trust and faith to believe the Lord that he can enable us with this new man to do great and mighty things that we could have never done before salvation. So let's consider verse 3 again. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, am I just saying that, or is that in your Bible? That's in your Bible, right? So that's God's work. Now, all we need to do is have a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust in what God has said in his word right there. See, faith says, trust says, I believe that, Lord. And so you can keep me from walking in evil. Now, unbelief says, oh, you don't know me. Oh, poor old me. Poor old me will never go anywhere until we get out of ourselves and into the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him. So notice this. Because God, the Lord, is faithful and he establishes us and he keeps us from evil. Listen to this, verse 4. And we have what?
Confidence.
We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Did you get that? It's all in the Bible there. And God, we just, Lord, open up our eyes to see the truth and to believe it, trust you, and to walk in it. So he says, and we have confidence. This is the Apostle Paul, in the Lord touching you. His confidence is in the Lord in the life of every believer. And here's what he's saying. He says that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. What are those things? The things that are in the Bible. The things that are specifically in the New Testament that God wants us to fulfill and walk in. And so here's the question tonight. Do you believe God or do you believe yourself? Yourself can lead you away from the Lord. Yeah, amen. I want to believe in the Lord because that's where we're going to grow and experience God in a very powerful way. By the way, the theme is for 2025, revival. Amen? Revival where? In me first. Right? Listen, I'm going to pray for revival. How often should I pray for revival? Once a week? Every day? Every day. And how about more than once a day? Amen? I should several times a day. I should, oh God, give us revival. Start with me, Lord. Let me know what it means to walk and stand in your presence. Let me know the holy people that you want to make out of us, and the peculiar people, and the royal priesthood that would honor and glorify you. See, let's start putting trust or faith to our salvation, amen, to the grace that God has already given to us. Let's grow in this grace and more trust since we first believed that God has given to every believer. So he says again, verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And notice verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God.
Amen.
So if we're not loving the Lord, and if we're not walking in the love of God, well, what did it say there? And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. God's not directing us. Because if God is directing us, we're going to be directed. God will direct us where? Into his love. Into the love of God. The love of God that is able to be kind to those who are unkind to them. Right? That's what he says. To those who listen, nobody said that getting our cheeks slapped, right, is a good thing, or it's a right thing. It's not right. But God said, turn the other cheek. And he didn't just say, just do it one time. He said, be merciful as I am merciful, right? In forgiving everybody. We want to forgive. We want to forgive the lost person. And by the way, they don't stand or fall before us. Their condemnation is before the Lord. But we want to be forgiving to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't want to hold any grudges. We're just pilgrims passing through. Amen? Our home is beyond the blue, as the song says. And that's what we're looking forward to the day that we see the Lord. So one more time, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now that waiting has the idea of serving also. You know, it's not just waiting, doing nothing. You know, when you go out to eat, and if you have table service, you don't want to see your waiter or waitress sitting in a corner somewhere taking a break when your water's not filled up, amen, or something, or when the food's not come. You know, and even if they're a little bit late with the food, it's nice for the server to come up to you and say, hey, everything's okay. We're backed up a little bit. Just want you to know we haven't forgotten you. Amen? Isn't that good? I get to thinking about maybe they forgot me if I'm there for 45 minutes and I don't see them, right? I'm thinking maybe I'm not that of a concern to them and maybe they forgot. Amen? And maybe we ought to plan for something else. I don't know. But so waiting on the Lord, patiently waiting, is growing in the grace of God and allowing God, not just sitting on our blessed assurance and doing nothing, but walking upright and growing in the grace of God. Growing. We are actively, as we're waiting, we are actively engaging in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are actively engaging, that requires faith. If I'm actively engaging the Lord, you know what? One of the things I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be praying. Amen. And I'm going to be taking prayer seriously. And I'm going to make it my appointment with the Lord every day to meet with Him several times a day. And I'm also going to pray and call upon Him while I'm out and about driving, praying always, right? That I'm talking to the Lord and communing with Him. That's a good thing if we want to be found faithful. Okay, so now the last thought here. And here's what we want to see. And again, remember, God created everything. He created the sun to give what? Isn't that amazing? God created the sun, and it does the job that it... Listen, did God create you and I brand new in the Lord Jesus Christ when we trusted Him as Savior? Are we not new creatures? By the way, we're new creatures to do what? To glorify Him. And so if we're not, God didn't make anything broken. There's no problem with the work of God. The problem comes when we don't believe what God said He'd do. Amen? And so that's what we don't want to do. And we want to grow in this grace that God has given to us. Okay, so here we are. How we are given good success. I want you to back up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And now we'll see what God created and designed every believer in Jesus Christ to do. So verse 13 says this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Amen. And that's it, right? No more of the verse? No? Okay, wait. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification. Amen. That doesn't this now. By the way, sanctification means to be set apart for a special use. Amen. You and I have been sanctified for the glory of God. Amen. Just let that soak in. You have been chosen. We have been chosen. It boggles my mind in our imperfection to glorify the Lord. God, listen. I'm a mess. My wife said, amen. She knows me. I'm a mess. But here's the deal. Ready? God knew that I was a mess. And He said, you know what? I want to glorify myself in you, but not in your strength. God will never be able to glorify Himself in my strength. So that's why God said, that's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And He's the one that's going to do... So notice this verse 13 again. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Now who's He giving thanks to? God. Amen. For believers, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Did you see that? Listen, let that soak in. God hath from the beginning chosen us to salvation through sanctification. How are we going to be set apart? Of the Spirit. And by the way, it's capitalized, so you know it's the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. In other words, you know what? I am a new creature.
Amen?
Amen? And you know what? I'm going to walk in that truth. Because if I walk in the old man, I don't know if I, in fact, I know I can't do it. In fact, I know I won't do it. How about that? I know I won't do it if I trust myself. I've trusted myself before in loving the Lord. Peter trusted himself. Lord, I won't forsake you. These others might. I won't. How far did that get him? Not a bit, did it? It didn't get him anywhere. And by the way, how far will it get us?
Nowhere.
It will not get us anywhere at all. And so nothing. Listen, did God mess up when he saved you? Did God mess up when he saved you to glorify him?
No.
So the mistake is in our thinking. Because God doesn't make a mistake.
Right.
Everything he makes is very good. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So now watch this. So he's chosen us to salvation, this kind of salvation, through the sanctification of the Spirit. So in other words, if it's a healthy salvation, there's a sanctification taking place. In other words, the world is growing strangely dim, uninteresting to me, and the things of God are becoming brighter and more important to me. All right? So he says, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, the truth here that we have, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember Jesus said that those that believe in me, they're going to be able to do greater things than I did? That's not blasphemous. Jesus said that. And so what do we mean by that? Well, he says that we're going to be able to walk as a holy people, not in ourselves. Listen, we will realize this, that we will relish the time of prayer and the presence of God. And we will see that need. Lord, I can't begin this day without you. Lord, I need you today. Because you know what the most important concern ought to be in the heart and mind of every child of God? The glory of God in my life. The glory. See, if we're not careful, here's what we're going to do. Ready? Well, we'll just wait around for revival in somebody else's church. We'll just wait around. I'll get busy. I'll get excited when I start seeing some other church to start doing something that I think is revival. Well, we're never going to find revival like that.
That's right.
Listen, this faith thing is a personal relationship between you and myself and the Lord.
Amen.
And so really, it's just between us and the Lord. Now, it will affect and be a blessing to those that are around us. And by the way, it'll even be a blessing to the lost world, even if they don't like us, they will still know that there's a truth. And in the recesses of their mind, it will bring light into those that are able to receive the truth, and it'll be a blessing to them also, right? If nobody ever shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you, where would you be?
That's right.
We would be lost. And so praise God for believers that are growing in the grace of God and that are excited about the things of God, because they're the ones that light up the way to the Lord. That's the Lord's way. He's the one that chose that. So he says, verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, remember, finally, he was saying, this is what I'm concerned about. He's telling us here how to do it. And then he's telling them what should be done in chapter 3. So here's how to do it. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. All you have to do is just stand fast. Be unmovable. The world's coming.
Amen.
Amen? The opposition's there to push you back and to get you to shy away and not be confessing the things of God and the Lord. So he says here, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And that's the New Testament. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. And good hope through grace. Is he going to give that to us or has he already given it? Isn't that what he said there? He's already given it. And so we thank the Lord that he hath given us, the bottom of verse 16, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Then he says this, comfort your hearts and establisheth you. This is what he's doing. This is what the Lord is doing in every good word and work. Let's put 16 and 17 together and we're done. Ready? Follow this very carefully. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, get that, Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, which hath loved us, listen, this is what they're doing, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. Oh, you don't know, I don't have good hope. You're missing something from God. Because God says he's given it. You've lost something. Because God says he's given it. So you could lose it in unbelief. Can you believe that? You can lose what God has given to you. You won't be able to find it because unbelief will blind you from realizing that it's right in your very midst. So he says, again, remember what the Lord has done. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you, listen to this, in every good work, every good word and work. God's going to do that. God is going to establish us in every good word and work. And so if that's not happening, it's not God's fault. We have chosen not to believe that God has given that to us. We have a choice every day to say, I believe that or I don't. I believe what God has said, what he has given to me. Do you believe he's given to you eternal life? But you're not going to believe God for the rest. That's what our flesh will do. I've done that. Oh, I just can't do that. I just can't. You know, that's just not the way I am. Praise God, God saved me from the way I am, or I'd be going to hell. Did he not save us from what we were? Yes. What were we? Lost and undone and condemned. Now God has saved us and put us on a rock. Amen. Who's that rock? The Lord. How did you know that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we're in him, can any man take us out of his hands? Not even ourselves. Amen? So let's start believing God and let's stop believing ourselves. Because, listen, don't be offended at this, all right? But this is the truth. We're not that smart. God is only all-knowing. God is the one that... We ought to walk humbly unless we walk like Peter did before he was converted, thinking he knew it all. We ought to walk humbly when we open up this Word of God. Lord, what are you wanting me to hear? I don't want to study like a Pharisee. I want to grow in your grace, amen? I don't want to just know stuff to know stuff. It's important, listen, be diligent to study the Word of God, but even be more diligent to know the living Word, amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stop at studying the Word. Study the Word to get to understand and to learn the living Word, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for what you've given to us so much, Lord, in our salvation. Lord, may you create a hunger and a thirst in our hearts and minds to seek you for all the many blessings that you've given to us, Lord, that we might walk into all the promises that you've given to us and not miss a single one of them. Those things, Lord, that glorify you and bless our hearts and our minds. And so, Lord, bless as we break off for prayer. Give us revival, Lord. Bless us with your mercy and your grace and give us revival that souls might be saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. May we be of one mind, of one accord, calling upon you, O God, that you would bring fruit, Lord, into the tracts that we're passing out, and to the souls, Lord, that we're communicating with, that we might see people saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.